This is Weekly Dose of Wellness, brought to you by Memorial Care Health System. Here's Deborah Howell.
Hello and welcome to the show. You're listening to Weekly Dose of Wellness, brought to you by Memorial Care Health System. I'm Deborah Howell, and today's guest is Dr. Kenneth Huh, a pediatric orthopedic surgeon and sports medicine specialist at Miller Children's Hospital Long Beach, with a focus in sports medicine, trauma, hip reconstruction, and foot deformities. He received his medical degree from Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine. Dr. Huh completed his orthopedic surgery residency at the University of Southern California. Additionally, he completed two fellowships, one in pediatric orthopedics and the other in sports medicine. His clinical interest is primarily in pediatric sports medicine, and he currently is the head physician for three local high school sports teams. Welcome and good morning to you, Dr. Huh.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Today we'll be talking about sports injuries and how to help prevent them. So what are the most common types of sports injuries?
The most common things that I guess we see in kids are sprains and strains are the most common. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the ankle is probably the most commonly sprained ankle joint. Other things we typically see in kids that are different than adults would be injuries to the growth plate, which is mm-hmm. near the end of the bones. And this is the area where kids grow. And this tends to be a little bit weaker. In kids, the bone and kind of growth plate is weaker than the ligaments.
Right.
So that's why we see injuries here. In addition, we see a lot of repetitive motion injuries, kind of stress fractures and tendonitis, overuse syndrome. And then the other couple things we see are concussions and heat-related illnesses.
Sure, sure. None of them pleasant. What's the difference between a strain and a sprain?
So a sprain occurs to a ligament, and a ligament is the tissue that connects bone to bone, whereas mm-hmm. a strain happens to muscles or tendons, tendon being the muscle turns into a tendon, which then goes into the bone that it actually moves. So
I've always wondered that, and now I know. Thank you so much. All right, let's focus on the two types of injuries, acute injuries and overuse injuries. What's the difference between those two?
Acute injuries are, just by definition, is something that usually occurs with a specific event. You know, it's, for example, like an ACL, someone's playing soccer, they plant, their knee gives out, and there's like an actual episode that someone can pinpoint as to like when their pain or symptoms occurred. Versus overuse, which usually there's no specific event. It's just mm-hmm. a pain that kind of comes on over time and worsens over time and is due to this repetitive motion.
Okay. All right. I can directly relate to the ACL as I'm sporting a new one in my left knee.
Oh.
And I have to say, if you go to your PT, you just never know the difference because I'm fully 100% again. So it's a wonderful thing you're doing.
Yeah. The therapy's, I always tell my patients, at least 80% of the work is having a good therapist.
It's so true. And a good surgeon, too. So
yeah.
What factors contribute to overuse injuries?
I think the most important thing would be kind of improper technique, mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
We see this a lot in kids who, for example, like people who are pitchers, because they'll get a lot of repetitive use things. If they try to overthrow the ball, mm-hmm. they kind of lose their techniques. They're trying to throw the ball as hard as they can. Also, when you're kind of starting, whether it be practice or games, it's good to warm up because if you go into like kind of sudden forceful movements rather than kind of gradually increasing the stress and intensity, it can kind of cause these overuse injuries as well. And then trying to, quote unquote, play through the pain.
Sure.
Is another thing that contributes to this. You got to listen to your body. And along those lines, I think you need to make sure that you rest. You got to take at least 1 to 2 days off a week from your sport in order to let your body heal. It's especially important in kids as they're growing. And like I said
yeah.
before, their physiology is a little different than adults, and they need time to rest and grow.
It's got to be kind of tough for kids on sports teams when the coach is saying, down, do some more burpees, and you got a little twinge in your knee, and you don't know if that burpee's going to take it to the next level.
No, I agree, especially if the dad is a coach too, which commonly
yeah.
happens.
Isn't that the truth? All right. Can you share some helpful tips for athletes and parents on some things they can do to help prevent injuries?
Yeah, first and foremost, definitely wearing protective gear. Mm-hmm. And you have protective gear that fits. Just, putting on a helmet that's three sizes big isn't helpful. You want to make sure it's protective gear that's been checked and is up to date and is well-fitting. And then, like I said before, making sure you warm up and cool down is important.
Mm-hmm.
I know people don't think, kids probably think that they don't need to, but as you get older, you realize the importance of it.
So, yeah, exactly.
I That's very important. Hydration's important. You know, want to make sure you drink plenty of fluids at least 30 minutes before a game, and then at least every 15 to 20 minutes during a game, you want to be drinking fluid.
Are you saying fluid, do you mean water, do you mean Gatorade, or a mix of both?
I think water is probably the best. I mean, I think Gatorade's good to replenish your electrolytes and stuff, but I mean, you can't go wrong with water, good old-fashioned
right.
H2O. And then I think other things would be just, you know, just particular to the kid would be, depending on what sport they're playing, kind of the parents should be cognizant of what are the common injuries, and then they can kind of educate themselves in terms of how to, you know, prevent those specific injuries, because each sport has different things that, you know, are higher risk.
Yeah, one is common to pretty much every sport, and that's concussion. So could you tell us what it is, please?
Yeah, it's basically a form of what they call a traumatic brain injury. TBI is what they call it. But it's basically, you know, it's like a jarring or shaking of the brain inside the skull, and it can kind of alter the way your brain works, you know, temporarily.
So. And what are the signs and symptoms?
For severe ones, you would see a loss of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And then other things, like in terms of thinking, remembering, people will kind of feel slow, and they may have problems concentrating, and then you can have problems remembering new things. In terms of physical symptoms, they can have headaches, blurry vision, nausea, vomiting, dizziness, loss of balance, and then they can be sensitive to light or noise.
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of kind of like emotional mood changes, you can see people getting irritable or depressed or anxious.
Really?
And then finally, in terms of sleep, yeah, this is kind of, yeah, you might not see that right away. These are more kind of things that kind of manifest after weeks. You know, weeks.
That's interesting. If it goes untreated.
Yeah. Or these are just signs that may not, because not always appear right away. That's the difficult thing with concussions. I mean, a lot of times the things I typically see, like when I'm covering football games, will be, you know, nausea, vomiting, or dizziness,
mm-hmm.
and kind of the whole feeling slow and not being able to remember things. But the emotional stuff and then problems with sleep are things that can kind of manifest themselves after a few days.
Is this recent discovery? I mean, I hadn't heard this before.
Well, it's probably become more clear, I think, as a lot of more research has been being poured into concussions. You know, I think with all the professional athletes, particularly the NFL, having the big concussion problem, there's been a lot more money poured into research. I think we've discovered that there are a lot more things that occur with a concussion rather than just what happens in the first, you know, the initial symptoms after the injury, that things
right.
can kind of come on a few days later and not present themselves for a few days.
Is there treatment for concussion?
The most important thing for treating a concussion is to make sure that you stop playing right away.
Right.
You know, because there's actually this, the big thing is there's a phenomenon called the second hit phenomenon, which is when if you sustain a concussion and you don't give your brain adequate time to rest and recover, if you have another injury or insult to the brain before it's fully recovered, it can actually... It's not just adding up two concussions. It can actually, you know, the effects can be exponential because your brain is already at risk, and then another shock to it can kind of cause it to have a much worse effect than if it was just an individual concussion by itself.
As you're talking, I'm imagining pro boxers.
Pro boxers are offensive linemen, defensive linemen of football who are just every player smashing heads with each other. So.
Yeah. Well, you do see some of these symptoms manifest in older athletes. Who've maybe sustained multiple concussions over the course of their, say, their boxing career.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you hear about this, you know, even with the NFL players. I mean, I think there are a lot of, there have been a few people, I think most notably recently, I don't know, there's Junior Seau, who's a Hall of Fame linebacker. He ended up committing suicide, and they think a lot of the stuff was due to the effects of multiple concussions and then the behavioral problems that occurred afterwards.
Just a tragedy. I mean, such a superstar he was.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, we're getting to pretty much the end of our show. What other injuries should we be on the alert for that maybe something unusual that we might not typically see in a sports program?
I think nowadays people are so well-versed in knowing what to watch out for in terms of a lot of the big injuries. So I don't think that too much slips by. I mean, I think the biggest thing right now is just... having kids be upfront and honest, because a lot of kids just want to play, so they'll hide their injuries.
Right.
You know, and then by the time they come out, it's like they've done a lot more damage.
Right.
And then, like I said, the other thing also is then the flip side being also the parents have to be aware too and be willing to step in, because I routinely see a parent who thinks that their, you know, 7-year-old child is going to be the next Kobe Bryant, and so they keep pushing their kid. And
that's right.
I have to tell them that 7 years old, you know, they can take a break and it's not going to affect their NBA career.
That's right. That's right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Huff, for finding the time to talk to us today about keeping our kids safe from sports injuries. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show. I'm Deborah Howell. Join us again next time as we explore another weekly dose of wellness brought to you by Memorial Care Health System. Bye-bye.